All right, Hevra. Hi, this is David Chaim. We're excited to be introducing Jonathan, who is our resident in-house expert on same-sex attraction. And we'll allow Jonathan, we're inviting Jonathan, we're privileged to have him share his insights into this very often shunned and shameful attraction. Jonathan, are you with us today?
Yes, I am. Am I unmuted? Am I being heard?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Jonathan, please let us know when you get to the end of your presentation and you're open to questions, and in which case I will stop the recording.
All right, great. I will do that. So should I begin? Is now a good time?
Yes, this is great, Jonathan.
All right, well, I just want to first thank everyone for having me today. I know that these calls have been going on for a long time, and this is the first time that I've been invited to speak to the call, and it's definitely an honor to be able to speak to all the guys that are dedicated to this really amazing conference call, especially about a topic that can be very emotional and charged and sensitive. I'm going to do my best to speak about this topic in a way that I think everyone can appreciate, whether they struggle with same-sex attractions or not. And I'm hoping to, hopefully in the discussion, we'll see a lot on how this process definitely can relate to everyone, really, not just people who are struggling with same-sex attractions, but really anyone who's struggling with any sort of issue or problem or an, you could say, addictions as well. I think what I'm going to present can really apply in to everyone, but what you will see here, what I am going to talk about, definitely applies, I believe, to men struggling with SSA, which is an acronym for same-sex attraction. And to me, this is what I'm hoping to show and to speak about is a framework that men can use to approach this attraction, to go forward in this attraction in a way where they can move past it, in a way where there can actually be a diminishment of same-sex attraction, and in a way where there can also be an increase in opposite-sex attraction. And I hope to try to address all of that today, and hopefully when we discuss the framework, that will become clear as we go forward. So I'm going to start. I know that there isn't going to be any questions until I'm done, which is actually a different way that I typically give this. I usually provide an interactive course, but so bear with me if it seems new. I think it will go fine. But if anyone does have any questions, though, as I'm speaking, I'm going to really encourage you to write them down. Don't forget them. And then either you could, I know it was offered that at the end of the call we'll turn off the recording and people could ask questions. But I'm even open to, if you don't want to speak on the call and you got some really important questions, you can even send me some emails throughout the call or even afterwards asking questions. And during the question-answer part, I'll try to look at the emails and see what people asked. My email is jhoffmancoaching@gmail.com. So like Jonathan Hoffman, it's jhoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N, and coaching, C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G, @gmail.com. I just want to ask...
Jonathan, just yeah. For a moment, just to... there's no reason to restrict questions. If a man feels comfortable during this recording to ask a question, there's no need to give your name over, say who you are. If it's important to you to get the question answered right away... is that okay with you, Jonathan, to field the call even during your presentation?
Yeah, if that's the case, I'll open it for I'll stop during the presentation and see if anyone wants to participate the way that I typically give this course. But I'm not limiting myself to that. We'll see how it goes. I'm flexible. I also want to just get a time. How long is this call usually? Just an hour or an hour and a half?
Right. So it's close to 7:15 or 12:15 New York time. If you would go till, let's say, 45 after the hour, and open to questions or however
you feel
comfortable.
How long should the presentation be, just to clarify?
30 minutes. 30
All
minutes
right.
until, and then I'll leave 15 minutes for questioning.
All right, great. Wonderful. So let me begin. What I'm going to present is something called gender wholeness. Gender wholeness is a framework, again, that I think is an incredible framework. It's that men can look at, again, particularly men struggling with same-sex attraction, to look at where they're holding in their life currently when it comes to how they feel whole or complete or fulfilled in their gender. And the gender in this case during the discussion I'm going to just refer to as masculinity, because first of all, that's my niche is mainly dealing with men, and that's more what my professional background is around, and it's also just simpler for me to just keep to one gender. So in a way, this could be called masculine wholeness, but it's called the gender wholeness model, which is what I'm about to present. And so again, gender wholeness is a model or a framework that helps men discover just how complete or whole they are currently today in their masculinity. And we're going to see how when there is a lack of completion and feeling whole and masculinity, when there's a lack of fulfillment, that can actually create yearnings and attractions and ultimately sexual attractions to other men. So what I would encourage you guys while you're listening is to, you could take notes. The way that I will speak about this will allow for that. And you could even draw out the diagrams with me if you're familiar with the diagram. A lot of you on the call may have already heard of this concept called gender wholeness and might have seen my class where I've spoken about this in the past on a conference call, and I've given out a PDF that has the diagrams, but we don't need, that's not necessary for the call. But as I speak, allow yourself to write notes if you'd like, and to see, and I'll explain how that will work as we continue. So gender wholeness has two parts to it, and I call these two parts an internal process and the other part the external process. And let's start with the internal process. The internal process basically begins by asking a man, how do you as a man define men today? And this is, again, how do you as a man define men today? And the reality is that everyone has a definition of what it means to be a man for various reasons. It could be given to us by society, culture, the way we were brought up. But everyone's walking around. They're walking around with a definition of what it means to be a man. Every man has this definition inside of themselves. This is what a man is. And often, when we live in our world today and when we grow up through life, we create this definition, and it becomes a very integrated definition into how we view masculinity. And so I ask men who are starting this process and who are thinking about their gender, I ask them, how do you define? And usually the answers that I get from men today, and if there are any brave souls on the call that want to provide their answers, I'll give some time to that if you'd like, you know, how you see today. But I'm just going to start first with how I've experienced a lot of men define men today are with a certain, there's an average set of characteristics or traits or attributes that we give men today. And again, this is the average. Some may have different definitions of what a man is. But also what I've seen, again, is most common. Men usually see men today as strong, as non-emotional, as sometimes caring, but restrained and held back. Some men see men as powerful, conquering, dominant. These are just a couple traits that I hear a lot that off the top of my head. Some people see men in a physical way, a very specific physical way, called muscular, strong arms, biceps, six-pack. You know, when we look at the world and we see Hollywood stars or billboards or magazines, that's what we see usually, after all, are men that fit that description. You've got that cool factor, all these different physical traits that represent popularity. Again, so it could be six-pack, it could be, you know, a tan skin, it could be big biceps, what a strong body. And then those physical traits are linked to very, again, other attributes that don't necessarily describe physicality, but things like like non-emotional or powerful or strong. And we can have, in our definition of men, all these different traits. And men, again, often are walking around with some sort of definition of what it means to be a man. And I just described the average definition that I see with a lot of men is that there is this sort of very strong, powerful, non-emotional, non-sensitive, certain look type of man that we all are carrying around in our minds and in ourselves as to what defines men. Now, I want to just speak to the fact that it doesn't have to be everyone carries that definition. This is a specific definition to the man that I'm speaking to, or to you yourself. You might have a very completely different definition of what it means to be a man, and that's perfectly okay. But the point is that we carry around a definition of what it means to be a man. And that's part of our internal process that we're talking about in the gender wholeness framework. And so in this internal process, we recognize, okay, I have this definition of what it means to be a man. And then the next question I ask, the next part of the internal process of this gender wholeness framework is, okay, how do you now define yourself today? How do you define yourself as a man? And quite often, a lot of men start giving off different traits and physical characteristics that define them in their minds that, guess what, aren't necessarily the way they define men. Often we have traits that are very negative, that the way that we define ourselves. We think we're worthless or not, are emotional or sensitive or non-attractive or unpopular. A lot of men that come to me who are struggling with same-sex attractions, not all, but most, are usually seeing themselves in a very negative light. And pretty much every client that I've seen that has come to me who are struggling with same-sex attractions see themselves at least as individuals as very different from the way they define men. And it's a really astonishing thing that that's what's going on, is that the way that they define men, and specifically the men that they're attracted to, which are usually the men that you can put on that first category of how they define men, that definition of men is usually very different than the way men define themselves. And we got this split. A man defines himself very differently than the way he defines men. He doesn't define himself as a man. He defines himself quite different. And that, again, could be because he sees very negatively or just very different than other men. And so internally, which is why this is called the internal process, a man's walking around feeling very different from what it means to be a man. These are all, it's a feeling inside. There's this internal process going on where the way he sees himself and the way he defines himself and all the attributes, whether they be physical or emotional, all these attributes are very different and very separate from, again, the way they define men or the man that they're specifically attracted to. And it creates a split or a dichotomy. Or basically there isn't an overlap between these two questions of how I define men versus how I define myself. And so those men on the call listening and who really want to think about this for themselves, whether you struggle with same-sex attractions or not, I would invite you to pull out a paper and ask yourself those two questions. How do you define men? How do I define men? And you can put a semicolon and write all the different traits that you see in other men. And then you list everything that comes up. And then you can ask yourself, how do I define myself today? Right, literally right now, how do I define myself? And notice what you see. See if the two lists are the same or see if they're not. And so why is it important then that often these men who walk in struggling with same-sex attractions have lists that are very different? You know, why is that important? Because what would happen to a man who is defining himself very differently from other men, and then he sees a man that has those traits that he calls manly? If he himself doesn't feel as a man, but then he sees men who are carrying all those traits, and yet he knows that he's a man because, after all, he's got the bodily characteristics that say that he is, and he's identifying as a man, and he's obviously a man physically. And what will happen to a man like that? Usually what will happen is there'll be a very strong yearning for the traits that this man sees in this in the man that is representing the ideal man for them. Because he's a man, after all, but he doesn't feel like he's a man. So he sees the ideal man, or he sees what men really are, and within other men that are outside of him, and he's like, wow, that man is a man, but I'm not a man. I really want what he has. I really have to have what he has because I'm a man myself. I just don't feel like I'm one. And that will subconsciously or consciously create a very strong yearning for masculine traits, for masculinity, specifically that they're seeing in other men. And that's a really key point, because that's where we start to see the beginnings of attraction. That here we have a man who's he doesn't see himself as a man. He looks at other men who he sees as they are. And he'll yearn for and be attracted to just these masculine qualities that he's seeing in other men. And so that creates, Sean, again, a yearning, a desire. It creates a wanting. It doesn't have to be sexual quite yet. But this will begin the process of wanting other men, or creating an attraction or a desire toward another man. Again, that's not sexual. We'll get to that part later, how that turns to sexual. But we can already begin to see just by this list and this internal process of how a man defines men versus how he defines himself, how that could create a yearning for internal masculinity. So that's the internal process that we require men who are struggling, or that we encourage men who are struggling with same-sex attractions to first think about. So that's only one side of the equation, because I said there's another side to this gender wholeness framework, and that's the external process. So let's turn to that. Hopefully we've understood to the best of our capabilities what the internal process is. We can put that aside for now, and now we can look at the other side to this model, this framework called the external process. And the external process is all about connection to men, as I'm about to show you. There's two questions that are, again, that we ask men who are struggling with same-sex attractions. And the first question is what do you need as a man from other men? What do you need from other men? Would be the question. And this is a really important question to ask, because it brings up a really important truth about being a man today, which is that we do need things from other men. And there are different types of men that we need things from, categories, I like to call it, of men. And there are four main categories of different types of men that I'm going to refer to. And those four categories are fathers, or father, friends or peers, and then mentors, and then brothers. Those are different types of men. And then when we think about ourselves in relation to those different types of men, we do need things from them. And hopefully for most of you hearing this, a lot of those things are obvious. From fathers, what men typically need that I hear from clients who are dealing with this, and what I hear from really every man, is from a father, I want love, I want affirmation, I want attention, I want support, I want validation, and excuse me for saying want, because these are actually needs. Not only do I want these things, I actually need these things from men, from my father. I need to have love from him. If without it really hurts. I need to have his connection or his attention. I might even need to have his physical love, like a hug, or him to hold me sometimes. And this is something that we feel, obviously, the moment we recognize that that there are other men outside of us. So the moment we recognize we have a father, a little boy is going to feel, wow, I need something from him. Again, it might not be conscious, but it'll be in him that I need his love, I need his attention, I need his affirmation, his validation, and his physical love again. Or a whole host of things. It could be it could be anything, really. It depends on the specific man that I'm talking to. Sometimes some men need things from their fathers that other men don't. The point is that think about it. What is it that you do need from your father today and always? And then you look at the three other men that I refer to, peers. Let's start look at peers. We need connection to peers also as men. And often what we need from peers is also similar, is affirmation, validation, fun, you know, play, you could call, you could say, or even, again, physical affirmation, arm around my shoulder, all sorts of physical types of affirmation that men can give to, that peers can give to each other. Roughhousing even, believe it or not, you know, to play in that way. It's just about recognizing, what do I need from men? So we think about that in relation to father, peers, and then mentors. Mentors, what do we often need from them? We need guidance, care, support. I might be repeating different things that we need that I've mentioned in the first two categories of father and peers, but that's okay, because, for example, the way that we get love from father might be very different than the way we want and need love from peers, or the way that we need guidance from father might be very different than the way that we need guidance from mentors. So we think about it. What do I need from men? And then brothers as well. What do I need from brothers? Didn't get to that category yet. And we discover that we need from our brothers also affirmation or play or time to be with each other, care, support. So we write out that list. We categorize the men that we need things from, and then we write out the list of things that we need from them. And that's the beginning of this external process. It's the first thing we have to ask ourselves in this external process. And then the second thing we ask ourselves, after we get very clear what we need from men, is, okay, what did I receive from men? What did I get? What am I getting today? What did I get growing up? What did I receive growing up? What did I receive throughout my life? And we look at those same categories. We have father, peers, mentors, and brothers. And we look at, well, what did I actually receive? And unfortunately, a lot of times with men who are struggling with same-sex attractions, what we need from men isn't what we received. So we look at father. A lot of times men come to my office or start working with men, and they didn't get the affirmation or the love that they needed from father. They instead they got abused, or maybe he was absent. He wasn't there. He didn't care about me. He didn't love me. And the same thing goes by the other categories, peers. Often a lot of men might have had a good father relationship, but they didn't get what they needed from their peers. They got bullying. They got rejection. They got hatred, or completely the opposite of what they were looking for and needed from their peers. And again, the same thing can go by mentors. Unfortunately, a lot of men starting with same-sex attraction got abuse from their mentors as well. Unfortunately, as bad as sexual abuse, I've heard and seen. And brothers, same idea. Now, it's not that every man who struggles with same-sex attractions didn't receive the things that they need from all these men. Sometimes it can just be one category of men, or maybe two. But sometimes it is all. The key thing would be to look at is, well, what's different about this list of what I received versus the list above, which I, on the external process that I first mentioned, which is what I need from men. And often, there's a big separation between these two lists. They're not the same. What I need wasn't what I received from other men. from different types of men. And again, the question that we have to then ask ourselves is when there's that lack of congruity, when that list, when those lists aren't the same, but they're separate, when there isn't an overlap, what would that then, what would that cause in that man? What would happen inside that man? And often what happens is if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. A man is walking around not getting what he needed from other men, and then he sees those men, though, that could represent or could actually be that type of those types of men, and he's in touch with what he needs. He doesn't have it, but he'll start to yearn for it when he sees men that could potentially give that to him. When he sees men that could potentially give him connection, he'll begin to yearn for it because he doesn't have it after all. And he's seen all these men that could potentially give it to him because that he needs those things from. And it creates a yearning, a strong yearning for connection to other men. A non-sexual yearning, just a basic yearning for connection that we've described as being either affirmation or love or all sorts of things, deep intimacy, connection, even physical connection. And the next thing we know, we're yearning for that type of connection to other men. We have a desire for something that those men can give to us. And now, when we look at the big picture, now that we've covered the external and the internal process, we discover that in this framework, and the way that I just described it, there are really two strong yearnings that we've discovered thanks to the way this internal and external process worked. One strong yearning was from the internal process, which was a yearning for masculinity, internal masculine traits that we see in other men. I want to be like that man. I want to feel like that man. I want to feel like I'm a man. And then there's a yearning for connection to other men thanks to the external process. I want to get my needs met from those men. I need their connection. And those two yearnings come together to create a really powerful, strong yearning, really strong desire for masculinity. Because right now, there's not gender wholeness. There's a lack of gender wholeness thanks to the way that I've structured both the internal and the external process. And what happens is this all usually starts before puberty, but sometimes it can occur afterwards. But nonetheless, is when puberty does kick in, we discover something called sexuality. We discover that our bodies naturally want to engage in this tool or this thing called sexuality. And if you think about what sexuality is, In many ways, what sexuality often gives us is connection. It's a yearning for connection to someone else. It's a yearning to feel complete or fulfilled through that. There's a strong yearning for sexuality. Says if you use me, you'll feel fulfilled, you'll feel good, you'll get some pleasure, and you'll get connection if you just use me. Right? And now, if there's these strong yearnings that we've described, a lot of times, maybe not every time, but a lot of times, that sexual component that builds up inside of us will say, hey, use me for that yearning to have. If you just use me, if you use sex, you'll feel like a man through connect, and you'll get connection to other men. You just sexually act out with other men, and you'll finally feel the power, you'll finally feel his masculinity inside of you, and you'll finally get the connection needs that you've always wanted or always needed but never got met. You'll finally get it if you just use me, sexuality. That's how it kind of works in our bodies. Just use me, and you'll finally get that yearning that you have so strongly inside of you. You'll finally get that yearning met. And that's often, I would say, the majority of the time that every client that's walked into my office struggling with same-sex attractions, that's been the model that I've seen. That's been where their homosexuality and their same-sex sexual attractions are beginning, from this place from not full wholeness and their gender. The gender wholeness isn't there. and sexuality has attached itself to that, to the yearnings that are created by that lack of wholeness, to create a really strong sexual attraction. So you know, I've just described the problem. You know, how this creates the problem or the issue called same-sex attraction. The key, obviously, we want to talk about, you know, what can you do about it. But I hope by just listening to what I've said so far, it can kind of make sense. Well, what should I do, or what can I do? And the answer is work on your gender wholeness, really, in short. Learn to see yourself as a man the way that you define men. Work to define yourself equal to the way that you define men. That would be the internal process. That's what the internal process is saying to do. Don't see them differently. Work to see yourself equal to other men instead, meaning the way that you define you should be the way that you define men. And that can happen in two ways. And I think it's important that both men try to do these two ways, which is either change the definition of how they define men, meaning maybe they make it less rigid or more compatible to the way you see yourself, and then vice versa, learn to change the way that you see yourself. Get rid of all the negative junk that you've put on yourself, and learn to see how manly you really are and how you do fit that definition of what it means to be a man. And that would then bring overlap between those two lists that we discussed in the internal process. And now that takes a lot of work. That's very much easier said than done. There's a lot of reasons and a lot of psychological walls that are making it hard for men to be able to break through their self-esteem, their low self-esteem, and be able to define themselves equally to the way they define other men. But that's why it's important to go to someone who can help you with that, or to read up on this and to try to work on it the best you can, and let it be a process that you have give yourself time for. And then just to let's not forget the external process. If you think about what we can do there, the goal will be, well, get your needs met. Don't let yourself longer receive what you need, no longer these needs just not being met. Try to learn how to receive what you need from other men. And sometimes that's not always possible, unfortunately. You know, sometimes our fathers aren't capable at being there for us, for example, or they might have unfortunately passed away. But often the goal will be, well, then find someone who can fit that for you. Find someone else who can sort of play that role for you, who can be there for you in that way. And find a father-like figure who can then give you the affirmation, the love that you're looking for. And then with peers, thank God, there's always peers that we can learn to befriend, and then new mentors that we can find. And we may not have brothers, but we could get so close to friends that they can feel like brothers to us. And we can actually go on a journey and work and do a process where we learn to actually connect to men on a healthy way, and on a healthy level, non-sexually, not using sex to connect us to men, but learn through guidance and help how to find healthy men to connect to and develop intimate closeness and in relationship with, so that what you need from other men is actually what you're receiving. That shouldn't continue that split. You deserve, since it's a need, you owe it to yourself, just like you would want to take food and drink water because that's something you need. The same thing through this, emotionally you owe it to yourself, if you need certain things from other men, to seek that out and to get it. So that's the process that men then go on. And just to quickly wrap it up, I want to be able to get to how this applies to all men, but think about what happens when men are able to do this, right? When they're able to become more whole in their gender and more fulfilled as men. And finally, who they are and the way they connect to other men is a lot more whole, a lot more complete. The way they see themselves as manly, they're defining themselves appropriately. The way that a man defines men is how he defines himself. And he's actually finally in connection to other men. He has his brotherhood. He's got strong connection to other men. He's soaked in masculinity, in other words. He's got his external process very whole and complete. He's got his internal process very whole and complete. Masculinity is something that's finally been brought into this man's life. Who will become different now to him? Who will become more interesting to this, a man like this? What will pique a man's curiosity like this? What will be intriguing to a man like this? And that's when women come along. That's how women become a lot more attractive from a healthy place, from a place of wholeness to us, because we're whole as men. We've got men in ourselves and in our lives. Well, now what I want is something very different from that. I don't have women, and I start to feel, wow, I'm actually missing something, because women are different from men, and women can never be like me because I'm a man, and a woman can never be like my friends because they're men, and a woman's a woman. And this is when a man can really work on soaking in his gender wholeness and increasing that, women become incredibly interesting and intriguing and even attractive. And that can be the place where healthy attraction forms. It's from a place of yearning to get to know another woman because I'm not a man. And it's also coming from a place of, because I'm a man, I want to give over that masculinity and all this masculine emotion and feeling that I have inside of myself to someone who can't ever give it to themselves, a woman. I want to be able to give over myself to her. And so that's going to require me getting to know her, not sexualizing her as a sex object at first, but first learning to, because that would be counterproductive, and I'll get to that in a sec, but instead seeing her for who she is as a woman, getting to know her first, developing an emotional connection, giving over my masculine emotional traits to her and receiving her interesting and very different femininity, and developing a connection that from that creates an incredible passion, unity, where two pieces of two wholes that are very different from each other are coming together to create another completely different whole, another completely different entity that doesn't have anything to do with masculine, feminine, but a unity, a oneness that actually in that oneness has the amazing potential and capability, and it's the only thing that can do this, to create life, to create new life again. And that's how gender wholeness, I think, applies so importantly to really everybody, including men and women now, because it's so imperative that we all learn to feel whole as men, and it's important for our wives and women in our lives to also learn how to feel whole as women, because it's in that wholeness that then this magical unity, this magical attraction that I just discussed can form. And just to tie this into addiction, into you know, sexual lust, which many men on this call might be struggling with, I think that often that's also motivated by a lack of gender wholeness, and that what we're doing when we are lusting after women isn't really actually caring so much about what the woman or the pictures of women that we're seeing, or you know, we can also put an SSA man in this, the pictures of men that we're seeing. It doesn't really have anything to do with the woman, really, or obviously the pictures either. We don't care so much about them. We care about us. Because why? Because we're lacking. We're not whole in ourselves, and we're trying to use these other beings outside of us, whether it be women or men, to feel more whole again, to feel complete. But that's not a healthy way. That's not how we become whole. Becoming whole is all about what I've said before, and learning to see yourself as a man, loving yourself as a man, and experiencing healthy connection to other men. That's what gives us masculine wholeness. And I've seen a lot of men who are struggling with all sorts of addictions are experiencing some lack of wholeness one way or the other. Sometimes I think the difference with a lot of SSA men versus non-SSA men is that for SSA men, the lack of wholeness is strong on both sides, the internal and the external process. Very, very strong. There's a very strong lack of wholeness on both sides. But often men might be lacking wholeness who don't struggle with SSA. I think maybe on one side, not the other so much, or vice versa, or maybe it's just not as strong, the lack of wholeness, but if there's still a lack of wholeness, they're trying to use women and sex to make themselves feel whole again or complete. Or maybe that yearning that's created in a lack of wholeness didn't become sexual for men. There's all sorts of reasons that it might have turned out the way that it did. But I do think that gender wholeness ultimately is very applicable to everyone. And men struggling with SSA, obviously, I think have to look at it a lot more and work a lot more on both sides of that, of the internal and external process to achieve it. But nonetheless, the goal is always for every man, I think, who are struggling with, again, addiction or any sort of sexual issue, is to think about, well, how am I using whatever I'm attracted to, whether it be women or men, to feel whole again? How am I using that to make me feel whole, and because that lack of wholeness is there, and the question then needs to be, well, what can I do to not use sex and women or men to feel whole? How can I first discover that wholeness on my own? Again, through the gender wholeness process that I was describing, and then from that place, finally choose to interact with women or men in that healthy place. And experience a healthy form of unity where both people, myself and hopefully my wife or the woman that I'm seeking is also whole, and then can create a unity and connection through that. So that's my lecture today. That pretty much completes the idea. That's how gender wholeness to me is one of the most important frameworks for our work. And I'm very open to questions now, and if you want to end the recording, we can do that. David Chaim.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan. I will stop the recording now, but first I want to thank you, Jonathan, for your presentation. I certainly learned a lot from it, and appreciate being able to understand the connection between these internal processes and external processes and the gender wholeness and how that affects me either with the same-sex attraction or opposite-sex attraction. So kudos to you and your expertise on this. Okay, I'll stop the recording now.